This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. And as promised, we are diving headfirst into Apple's October 2018 event, the second one this fall Apple has hosted. This round, we meet the newest members of the iPad and Mac families. What a long-awaited new MacBook Air and a face-reading iPad Pro have to offer after these tech headlines. So if the question is upgrade, lately the answer seems to be no thanks. As smartphone makers launch increasingly pricey phones, Americans are sticking with older phones longer. iPhones traded in during the third quarter were an average of a very precise 2.92 years old, and those phone owners held on to them longer than Android users. And analysts expect 22.8% of U.S. postpaid phone users, meaning those that pay their phone bill monthly under longer-term contracts, to upgrade their device in 2018. That's down 30% from 3 years ago. In emerging technology news, grocers are the latest to enlist AI to chase e-commerce. And while robots are relatively new to the food industry, startups are vying to sell supermarkets an array of robots that perform different tasks. The latest deal sees Albertsons hiring a company called Takeoff Technologies to build a network of smaller warehouses where robots and AI will help fill online orders. Kroger, the largest U.S. supermarket chain, has made a series of tech investments this year. The company in May took a roughly $250 million stake in Ocado, a British online grocer. Kroger is also testing a driverless grocery van with autonomous vehicle company Nuro, entering the crowded meal kit distribution market with startup Home Chef. And now a look inside AT&T's plan for 5G technology. The Wall Street Journal's Drew Fitzgerald took matters into his own hands and asked John Donovan, head of AT&T's communication division. So when can we expect 5G? According to Donovan, you'll start to see handsets rolling out as early as the first quarter of 2019, but much more probably and in more volume when you start to look at the back half of 19. Wireless companies are counting on 5G's capabilities to broaden their customers' base beyond phones to new machines like driverless cars and factory robots. John Donovan spoke more with the Wall Street Journal about AT&T's plan for 5G, among other things. You can check out the conversation at WSJ.com or the WSJ app. Coming up, Apple unveils a new iPad Pro and a MacBook Air at its second big launch event this year. What you need to know about the latest Apple products. Tuesday, Apple unveiled two more expensive versions of its Mac personal computers and a redesigned iPad as it aims to reinvigorate lackluster sales of PCs and tablets with higher-priced devices, not unlike it did to strengthen its core iPhone business. What does that mean for your personal consumer needs and your options before the holiday season? Let's get more. Joining us in studio in New York, because he was at the event in Brooklyn, is The Wall Street Journal's David Pierce. Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
So just for this podcast, we're going to have a special segment called Deep Thoughts with David Pierce. I was inspired by the live blog that WSJ had, this highlighting the key points at Apple's big event. So let's start with Macs, as Apple did in Brooklyn. The new MacBook Air marks the first full design upgrade of Apple's most popular laptop since 2010. The screen borders get narrower, the resolution gets higher. How do we feel about it?
So the strange thing about this laptop is, on the one hand, it's everything MacBook Air owners have been asking for since 2011, which was the last time Apple made any sort of meaningful change to the MacBook Air. It has a better screen. It has updated processors. It has great battery life. It's basically a MacBook Air from 2011 brought into 2018. And that's a very good thing, except it sort of makes you wonder why they didn't make this laptop 7 years ago.
Right.
It's not a terribly complicated sort of leap from where they were to where they are now. So the other part was that they raised the price, or at least the sort of base price of the device, right, considerably. And on the one hand, made big improvements. It's a better screen. It has better processors. It's a more powerful computer by, an order of magnitude. But it's also at least $1,200. And what that really does in a really interesting way is takes Apple out of a whole area of competition in the computer market. So they just don't make a $1,000 laptop anymore. The cheapest one you can buy is $1,200. And realistically, by the time you get one you want with the right specs and things, like $1,400 is sort of the floor for an Apple laptop now. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think it changes a lot. So I know a lot of people and myself who were very excited about the idea of upgrading the MacBook Airs we've all had for like 5 years now.
Sure.
who were pretty enthusiastic until it all of a sudden the price was about 50% higher than we thought it was going to be.
All fair points. So Apple also introduced a new, more powerful Mac Mini. What kind of tune-up did it get?
Yeah, the Mac Mini is a funny thing. It's another one that has not been updated in a very long time. And I think Apple never really had a sense of who it was that used a Mac Mini, but
right.
They've figured out that a lot of people use them as home theater PCs. They're really great, like family room computers. They're just these simple, straightforward, typically pretty inexpensive things that you can just drop anywhere, plug in a monitor, and go about your life. And that's a really valuable thing to a lot of people. So what this is, because it's just a box full of computer parts, is just a box full of better computer parts.
Okay.
It's much more powerful. It has much more RAM. It has more ports. It's just Apple just took the thing that it was and made it more powerful, which is great. And that's, on the one hand, all that update should be after all these years. But in this case, too, they raised the price. The Mac Mini used to start at $499, and now it starts at $799. And again, it's a much better computer. But there's this whole group of people, I think, who wanted a small, simple, usable desktop for $500, which is a pretty easy thing to find. There are lots of good desktop computers for $500. It's just that Apple doesn't make one anymore.
Right. All right. So keeping with the same theme, sleeker, thinner, more powerful, big news everyone was waiting for were new iPad Pros.
Yep.
And what everything that goes with that. You know, what we came to expect for the first time, the iPad has facial recognition tech, no home button, no headphone jack. Thoughts?
Deep I mean, ones? It's like a big iPhone in a super real way now. So the best thing about this whole event to me was that Tim Cook comes out and says, basically, here, look, we made a great new laptop. It's super cool. And then they go through it. And then like 30 minutes later, somebody comes out and says, well, laptops are stupid. You need an iPad.
That's a good point.
Just like,
fair
all
point.
Of a sudden, they were like, if you're like old and lame, buy this laptop. If you're young and cool and hip, here's an iPad.
Yeah, pick a lane.
Right. And the Pro is very much Apple's idea of an entry-level computer. If you want to spend less than $1,000 on a computer, Apple's straightforward answer that gets ever more straightforward is just buy an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I mean, it has a keyboard. It has a full version of Photoshop. Somebody from Adobe demoed it, and it's like it's not an accident that that's the thing they pick, because the big knock against the iPad is, well, it doesn't do some of the things that a desktop computer can do. And Apple is now out to prove the idea that, well, all the things you want to do on a desktop computer, you are increasingly able to do on an iPad. And that's not yet even close to really true, but it's getting there. And this thing is, it's lighter, it's thinner, it has a great screen, it has no headphone jack, which is ridiculous. But it has USB-C, which I actually think is a pretty big deal, because
right.
It means you can plug in an external monitor, or you can plug in a camera, or you can plug in a hard drive, and these things now work with the rest of your computing devices in a way that they haven't before. And that's a big deal. So they're pushing on this thing that an iPad can be a computer. It used to be, you know, 8 years ago when Steve Jobs demoed it, it was him like sitting in an armchair reading the New York Times. And now this device is the opposite of that. It is a device for like doing things. And that's because the iPhone is the device you sit in your chair and read the New York Times on, right? Or the Wall Street Journal, I should say. Steve would have read the Wall Street Journal now, I like to think. But
I think so. I think you're right.
But so, and the iPad now is a computer. Like it is a full-on, full-fledged computer. And whether that's real or not in use, that is exactly how Apple sees it.
Great. So as we said, there's a lot more coverage at WSJ.com/tech. Just to give you an example, one of Joanna Stern's bullet points was a poop emoji.
Mm-hmm.
So we have very unique coverage. It is the best of the best.
This is what subscribers pay for.
I think so. And of note, we also have more coming up later this week on Instant Message, the new personal tech podcast we're all really excited about. So make sure you tune in for that. David, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York.